There is a secret that most pro athletes, elite CEOs, and high performers all know. They all have a group of world-class coaches working for them to help them optimize their potential. At Super Athlete Radio, our goal is to provide you with the caliber of world-class coaches and guests to help you unlock your potential, dominate your industry, and dominate your life. Let's get better today.
Welcome to Super Athlete Radio. Really excited to talk with you today on this episode of the show about what you can do to optimize your longevity. Specifically, we're going to talk about some cool training ideas, tips, tools, tactics you can apply to set yourself up to live a really long time. And the way I'm going to view this is how I want to live. And I want to live for a very long time for my grandkids, my great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids. But I want to be able to do it in a way where I'm physically active, I'm physically moving, I can lift stuff, I can move well as need be, and I can enjoy the sunshine, I can enjoy playing with the younger generations, I can enjoy moving. And then also, from a cognitive perspective, it's really important for me in terms of longevity to have my brain sharp so I can use all this wisdom and life experience that I'm going to be building over these decades and decades to apply that to my life and to those around me. So that's how I like to view longevity. I hope that you have a similar take as I do, and I'm really excited to get into this episode with you. All right, really excited for this episode. How we're going to start today is we're going to start with the number one correlating factor that is connected with longevity. This comes from James Clear's book, Breath. And the study he references is the Framingham study. More recently, science has begun testing what the ancient Tibetans understood intuitively. In the 1980s, researchers with the Framingham study, a 70-year longitudinal research program focused on heart disease, attempted to find out if lung size really did correlate to longevity. They gathered two decades of data from 5,200 subjects, crunched the numbers, and discovered that the greatest indicator of lifespan was not genetics, diet, or the amount of daily exercise, as many had suspected. It was lung capacity. The smaller and less efficient lungs became, the quicker subjects got sick and died. The cause of deterioration did not matter. Smaller meant shorter, but larger lungs equaled longer lives. Our ability to breathe full breaths was, according to the researchers, literally a measure of living capacity. And of course, breath is one of the fundamentals that we talk about consistently here at Super Athlete. Your ability to focus, how you breathe, your training, your nutrition, your mindset, your sleep. And these are protocols that we work with our clients daily on to optimize. But what we're going to talk about here, a couple of things that I think are relevant to that study, and specifically with longevity and lung capacity, is they talk about what is the best breath sequence for longevity. And he says it's 5.5 breaths per minute, and that equates to a 5.5 second inhale and a 5.5 second exhale. And the more we could do that breath sequence, then the better off we will be in terms of setting ourselves up to live for a very long time. I personally am a huge fan of adding breath work and breath routines as part of my daily schedule. And in terms of, I have a specific breath pattern before I go to bed, which shortens my amount of time it takes me to go to sleep because it's a trigger to the subconscious in terms of now it's time to go to bed. I have a specific breath sequence I do when I'm about to train or compete. It's a trigger for my subconscious. It's now we're about to ramp up and turn things up a notch. And I believe the more you have of those during the day, then the more you're going to just help your body perform at a higher level because it's going to know what's coming. And I say that there in context is the more we can just inflow throughout the day, breathe in for 5.5 seconds, and breathe out for 5.5 seconds, then the more benefit we are going to get and see from that. Also, another thing that I thought was relevant was there from his book was, he talks about resting heart rate. And resting heart rate is something that we have, I believe it's an important measure. It's something I check every morning. We provide all clients within Super Athlete Training Camp a wearable. And in that wearable, resting heart rate is something that we look at. With resting heart rate, with heart rate variability, with the metrics that we look at there, we don't have our clients get caught up in the specific numbers. What we want to see is to make sure that things are trending up, or if things are trending down, we know why they're trending down. And if they are trending up, we want to know why they're trending up so we can double down on that. So don't get caught up in a specific number if you feel like, you know, you're comparing to your neighbor or whatever. But what you do want to do is you want to see, make sure that your numbers are trending up. This is what James Nestor in his book, Breath, talks about resting heart rate. Mammals with the lowest resting heart rate live the longest. And it's no coincidence that these are consistently the same mammals that breathe the slowest. The only way to retain slow resting heart rate is slow breaths. This is as true for baboons and bison as it is for blue whales and us. So we want to get that resting heart rate low. And he talks about how we can do that is by doing those 5.5 breaths per a minute. And that equates again to a 5.5 second inhale followed by a 5.5 second exhale. Okay, let's use this as an opportunity to go into VO2 max, which of course has a huge impact as a correlating factor to longevity. And of course, that has to do with what we just said in terms of lung size. A 2018 study in JAMA found that followed more than 120,000 people found that higher VO2 max measured via a treadmill test was associated with lower mortality rates across the board. The fittest people had the lowest mortality rates by a surprising margin. Consider this. A person who smokes has a 40% greater risk of all-cause mortality, that is, risk of dying at any moment, than someone who does not smoke, representing a hazard ratio, HR, of 1.4. This study found that someone of below average VO2 max for their age and sex, that is between the 25th and 50th percentiles, is at double the risk of all-cause mortality compared to someone in the top quartile, 75th to 97.6 percentile. Thus, poor cardiorespiratory fitness carries a greater relative risk of death than smoking. That's only the beginning. Someone in the bottom quartile of VO2 max for their age group, i.e. the least fit 25%, is nearly four times likelier to die than someone in the top quartile, and five times likelier to die than a person with elite level top 2.3% VO2 max. That is stunning. These benefits are not limited to the very fittest people either. Even just climbing from the bottom 25th percent into the 25th to 50th percentile, at least fit to below average, means you have cut your risk of death nearly in half, according to this study. These results were confirmed by a much larger and more recent study published in 2022 in the Journal of American College of Cardiology, looking at data from 750,000 U.S. veterans ages 30 to 95. That is a huge data set, 750,000 people. This was a completely different population that encompassed both sexes and all races, yet the researchers found a nearly identical result to someone in the least fit 20% has a four times greater risk of dying than a person in the top 2% of their age and sex category. So VO2 max has a huge impact on longevity. It has a huge impact on our physical fitness. And let's talk about some things that we can do to improve VO2 max. So personally, what I like to do is I like to do high-intensity interval training. I have a climber at my house. It's like a Versa climber. And I like doing 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off of that. And I also like rucking for 45 to 90 minutes, you know, weight vest size between 15 pounds to 45 pounds. And I have found that those are both beneficial to improving VO2 max. A couple other things you can do are zone two cardio, which has a huge benefit in terms of building that foundational aerobic base that allows you to train longer and harder. I've found that I get that benefit from like wrestling practice or basketball practice. So I don't spend too much time on zone two cardio, but there is some very powerful benefits to that. It makes me think of Don Moxley, who is a sports scientist who is on this show. And when he was at Ohio State University, Zone 2 cardio had a huge impact in the success of his wrestlers. This is a common debate in MMA, is how much time should fighters spend in strength conditioning, because they have so much that they need to do in terms of skill acquisition, whether that's boxing, whether that's Muay Thai, whether that's wrestling, whether that's jiu-jitsu. So does it make sense to have them add strength conditioning to their training? And what Don concluded, and what he found in the trench of success, was that having his wrestlers get a foundational level of relative strength, and that was measured via deadlifts and trap bar deadlifts and pull-ups, then they were good to go there. And then instead of having all their time on the mat, he had them do zone two training. You know, he said zone two, these were elite level athletes. So zone two was kind of zone three for most people who would just be looking in, but these guys had very high motors, very high, big gas tank. And he would have them do that in addition to their training. And he found supreme benefit to that in terms of wrestlers that won and dominated at a very high level. So from a performance perspective, I would say that in context that there's benefits to zone two. There's huge benefit. It's something I need to find a way to add more of in terms of chilling out and just doing the movements. And then I want to share with you something that I thought was super interesting on a study that I just read. Because when you're doing your HIIT training, when you're doing your VO2 max training, when you're just training in the gym or overall, the more reps you could do, or the longer you can go at higher intensity, the more benefits you're going to get. And I just read this study, how much does self-talk influence fatigue? A comparison of performance, perceived exertion, and neuromuscular patterns during high-intensity power clinics. And what they looked at is they looked at fit men, age range 18 to 28, and they experienced Olympic weightlifting where they were randomly assigned to a self-talk and control group. And participants completed sets of three repetitions of power cleans at 85% of the one rep maximum with a 3-minute rest between sets until fatigue. During the rest between sets, those assigned to the self-talk group were asked to verbalize their internal self-talk, while those in the control group were asked to stay focused on a brown tan paper to maintain neutral emotion. All right, Jessica, check out these results. These are crazy. The self-talk group performed 64% more work, sets, repetitions, and total weight moved than the control group. The self-talk group also performed 43% more sets and reps after reaching an uncomfortable level of exercise intensity. Okay, so again, that 43% is a huge number, and that's a separator when you're training for VO2 max. Analysis of EMG data showed that the self-talk condition also resulted in lower most muscle activity in key muscle groups involved in the PC exercise, suggesting the self-talk group moved the weight more efficiently. Okay, what does this all mean? Self-talk may help moderate exercise intensity perceptions, which thereby facilitate persistence. EMG activity was lower for the self-talk group, suggesting improved neuromuscular efficiency during the power clean. Very interesting. Participants tended to use primarily instructional self-talk early in the training session, then shifted to motivational self-talk later in the training session, suggesting a change from task-oriented focus to ego-oriented focus. And then again, this is crazy. Self-talk cognitive strategies increased the weight lifted by improved repetitions by about 43%, improved persistence after, and 8 RPE intensity by about 63% that led to more efficient muscle firing patterns than control group or neutral self-talk group. The internal conversations we have with ourselves can greatly influence how we perform during training and sport. And the other thing I want to touch on briefly, I'm a huge fan of adaptogens. Most of you guys know that by now. And a couple adaptogens that have been shown to benefit physical exertion, which is what we're talking about here in terms of longevity and performance, is rhodiola specifically physical capacity, rhodiola rosea. And I've heard, man, I'm glad it's getting some love now. I heard Dr. Andy Galpin and Huberman talk about this in the last couple of years. We've been giving our athletes rhodiola. I got that from Remy, and that was over 10 years ago. I know he's been giving his athletes rhodiola for decades. Rhodiola rosea, referred to as the Arctic or golden roof, grows at high altitudes on mountaintops and sea cliffs in Europe and Asia, and is classified as an adaptogen, a substance that supports the body during times of stress. In the 8th century, it's believed rhodiola was used by the Vikings to fight off fatigue and increase stamina, by indigenous Sherpas in the mountains to adapt a living at high altitude, and a secret of Soviet-era military use to ramp up resiliency during extended time on the combat field. So it has a very intriguing history. In 2004, early studies on rhodiola showed that acute doses of 200 milligrams of rhodiola taking 1 hour before training could improve endurance exercise and performance, likely due to increases in pulmonary ventilation. A more recent study of 15 active college-age women investigated the effects of a 3 milligram per kilogram dose of rhodiola on a 6-mile ergometer time trial bike ride to see if it can improve endurance exercise performance. The results showed that the rhodiola group did not see improvements in endurance performance and decreased heart rate during maximal training. The results showed the rhodiola group did see improvements in endurance performance and decreased heart rate during maximal training. This suggests rhodiola could be a useful tool for enhancing aerobic capacity in athletes. And then also, I mean, so we're talking about VO2 max and longevity and lung capacity and lung size here, but also it talks about there's some power. So I would highly recommend that you add rhodiola, at least experiment with it. It also talks about here in terms of perceived exertion. Perceived exertion is effectively how hard training feels for the athlete. Most people will agree reducing how hard an exercise feels will likely produce a meaningful improvement in performance. In 2014, a study of 10 males performing 2 30-minute cycling time trials and supplementing with a 3 milligram per kilogram of rhodiola found significant decreases in perceived exertion and mood state compared to placebo. Rhodiola, like we were talking about here in terms of the benefits of improving your VO2 max, improved ATP production. It also is said to increase ATP, adenosine triphosphate. Interesting. So, again, the longer you could go when you train, the faster your VO2 max is going to improve. The more your VO2 max improves, the higher likelihood that you are going to live for a really long time and be there to be able to dominate and do amazing things. So just real quick to wrap this up, VO2 max is typically expressed in terms of the volume of oxygen a person can use per a kilogram of body weight per minute. An average 45-year-old man will have a VO2 max of around 40 milliliters per a kilogram per minute, while an elite endurance athlete will likely score in the high 60s and above. An unfit person in their 30s or 40s, on the other hand, might score in the high 20s on a VO2 max test. The higher someone's VO2 max, the more oxygen they can consume to make ATP, and the faster they can ride or run. In short, the more they can do. So that's kind of a definition. So when you, again, the fastest way to improve something is to measure it. So when you do go test your VO2 max this week, you will know kind of a baseline of what you are going up against. Longevity. This is something that we get questions on all the time. We're going to incorporate it more into Super Athlete Radio. And I appreciate all you guys. If you guys have not yet subscribed to us on YouTube or you're not yet following us on your favorite podcast platform, or even better, leave a review, please do that, because it's the easiest way to support Super Athlete Radio, and it's totally free. I appreciate your time as always. Let's get better today.